This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Imagine like stepping onto a factory floor today and seeing 100,000 synthetic humanoid workers just rolling off the assembly line, ready to deploy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's quite a mental image.
Right. Now take that image and contrast it with a group of Hollywood executives publicly denouncing foreign AI tools. But at the exact same time, their own production teams are secretly funneling unreleased blockbuster scripts through illegal servers just to use that exact same foreign technology.
The hypocrisy is just wild.
It really is. Anyway, welcome to today's deep dive. If you're listening to this, you're the kind of person who wants the signal, not the noise. You're tracking the global tech space, you know the stakes, and, well, you want the whole picture without being patronized with textbook definitions.
Exactly. We're skipping the basics today.
Yeah. So today we are opening up a stack of freshly translated tech intelligence from July 8th, 2026. This is a curated, high-level briefing featuring some crucial insights provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim. We are looking at a world where technology like the code, the algorithms, the raw data, it crosses oceans effortlessly. But the trust required to use it, that doesn't even make it past customs. We're tracking the explosive hidden reality of the global AI and robotics boom.
And you know, the numbers and events in this briefing are staggering. I mean, they completely reframe what we think of as standard market updates.
Yeah, they really do.
We're watching the visible ripples of a silent, highly coordinated geopolitical war. And it's being fought on three fronts simultaneously, right? With silicon, with proprietary algorithms, and with just massive, unprecedented pools of capital.
And we are going to bypass the standard financial commentary to get straight into the mechanisms of how this war is actually functioning. So let's start with the sheer scale of the capital being deployed in the memory chip sector, because the numbers coming out of South Korea right now break almost every historical precedent we
have. Sadly, it's historic.
Yeah. Samsung Electronics just released their Q2 preliminary operating profit, and it hit 89.4 trillion Korean won. That translates to roughly 64 billion U.S. dollars.
Which is just a massive leap.
Right. We are talking about a 19 times increase year over year. They shattered the tech world record. They even beat NVIDIA's Q1 profit. But here is the bizarre reality. Despite this historic win, Samsung's stock plummeted 6.9% by the time the market closed. Okay, let's unpack this. If a company absolutely dominates the global profit game and beats the reigning king, NVIDIA, how on earth does the market respond with a nearly 7% sell-off? Is the market just completely paranoid?
Honestly, yes and no. The fear driving that sell-off is rooted entirely in capital expenditure, or CapEx.
Okay, so the cost of doing business.
Yeah, exactly. When investors look at that 89.4 trillion won profit, they aren't seeing a sustainable windfall. They're seeing a terrifying, looming bill.
Yeah.
You have to look at the mechanics of high bandwidth memory, or HBM, which is, you know, the critical bottleneck for all AI servers right now.
Right.
And HBM is not manufactured like a traditional microchip. It requires vertical stacking. They are literally taking multiple memory dies, grinding them down to microscopic thinness, and stacking them up like a high-rise building.
Wow, like a microscopic skyscraper.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have to connect those floors using through-silicon vias. You're piercing thousands of microscopic wires straight through the silicon.
That sounds incredibly prone to errors.
It is.
Yeah.
The yield rates on this process are notoriously difficult to maintain, and the specialized advanced packaging machinery required to do it at scale is just astronomically expensive.
Ah, I see.
So investors fear that the cost of building and maintaining the infrastructure for the next generation of HBM is going to completely cannibalize these current profit margins. This raises an important question about concentration risk.
So they are pulling in a fortune today, but they are essentially trapped in this arms race where they have to spend a fortune tomorrow just to keep their factories relevant. It's kind of like watching someone win the largest lottery in history and then instantly declare bankruptcy because the tax bill is too high.
That's a perfect way to put it. When an entire national economic engine is hyper-leveraged on a single sector-like AI memory demand, any slight fluctuation in the global deployment of AI servers could be catastrophic for their bottom line.
Which perfectly explains the aggressive maneuvering we are seeing from the other Korean memory giant, SK Hynix.
Yes, the Nasdaq move.
Right. They are launching an American depository receipt, an ADR, on the Nasdaq under the ticker SKHY on July 10th. And they're aiming to raise $29 billion. That completely shatters Alibaba's long-standing record for the largest foreign U.S. listing ever.
It's a massive power play.
Yeah, and they're taking that massive influx of U.S. cash and earmarking it entirely for domestic Korean fabrication plants and advanced packaging facilities. It's like they're plugging their life support directly into the U.S. Federal Reserve while the rest of the global grid faces rolling blackouts.
Well, former lawmaker Kyung Jin Kim points this dynamic out brilliantly in the briefing. Samsung and SK Hynix are sitting on top of an unsustainable concentration risk, heavily tied to global AI demand.
Right, because everyone needs their memory chips right now.
Exactly. So SK Hynix's move to the NASDAQ is a highly deliberate geopolitical strategy. By raising $29 billion in the U.S., they are binding themselves to the deepest pool of capital in the world, diversifying their financial exposure away from purely Asian markets.
Right.
But they're simultaneously extracting that U.S. capital to build fortresses back home in Korea, cementing their irreplaceability in the U.S.-led AI supply chain.
Wow, so they are building impenetrable walls around their hardware manufacturing. But to understand why these chip makers are spending tens of billions on fabrication plants, we really have to look at what those memory chips are actually powering out there in the physical world. Let's pivot to the robotics sector.
Yeah, the physical rollout is where things get really crazy.
Because China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, the MIIT, announced at the WAIC press conference that humanoid robot production will exceed 100,000 units this year. For context, the global output for humanoid robots last year was only 17,000. Here's where it gets really interesting. This isn't some sci-fi future. This is the mass manufacturing of a synthetic blue-collar workforce happening this year.
And you have to look at how this deployment is being engineered. State-owned enterprises are actively brute-forcing the market into existence.
How so?
Well, China's state grid is currently deploying 8,500 robots, and that includes 5,000 robotic dogs and 500 humanoids. They're doing this in a 6.8 billion RMB investment, using them for high-risk substation inspections and grid management.
Wait, I have to push back on this a bit, though. A state-owned enterprise buying 8,500 robots feels a little, you know, artificial. Is a state-mandated quota actually driving world-class innovation? Or are they just forcing a market to exist on paper by mandating that government utilities buy domestic hardware?
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
It might start as a forced mandate, but the sheer volume creates a closed-loop ecosystem that rapidly drives down the cost curve.
Okay, so scale brings down the price.
Exactly. When the state sets a 100,000-unit target and state infrastructure guarantees the purchase orders, local manufacturers can scale up their supply chains with zero demand risk. You can see this capital velocity in the private markets, too.
Oh, right, the IPO.
Yeah. Look at Unitree, a major Chinese humanoid robot maker. They just received IPO approval on the STAR Market in a record-breaking 104 days, aiming for a $5.9 billion valuation.
Just 104 days? That's insane.
A 104-day IPO process is practically unheard of. It proves the regulatory and capital markets are being forcefully cleared to accelerate this specific sector. What's fascinating here is that China isn't just building the robots, they are building a completely closed-loop ecosystem.
It is a total alignment of state capital, regulatory speed, and guaranteed purchase orders. But it isn't just the physical servos and actuators, right? It's the silicon brains inside them. We've operated under this assumption that to build frontier-level AI, you are completely dependent on American chips, specifically NVIDIA GPUs.
Yep, that's been the prevailing narrative.
Yet, the intelligence briefing details a massive breakthrough from Meituan, the Chinese delivery and services super app. They open-sourced a 1.6 trillion parameter model called LongCat 2.0. The crucial detail here is that it was trained and run entirely on 50,000 Chinese ASICs.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah, custom silicon built strictly for neural networks, completely bypassing the need for general-purpose NVIDIA GPUs.
Mm.
And it even beat GPT 5.5 on the SWE Bench Pro benchmark.
And defeating GPT 5.5 on SWE Bench Pro is a watershed moment. That benchmark doesn't just test basic coding trivia. It requires the AI to solve real-world complex GitHub issues and write functional pull requests.
Right, it's actual software engineering.
Exactly. Meituan proving they can achieve that level of reasoning entirely on domestic chips, it just shatters the narrative around U.S. export controls. Stringing together 50,000 custom ASICs requires solving massive networking and bandwidth bottlenecks. It proves their drive for self-sufficiency is functionally working at the absolute frontier of AI development.
So they are building these self-contained, hyper-localized ecosystems for hardware. But the irony is that while the hardware is locked down, their software is slipping right through our front doors.
Oh, absolutely.
This brings us to a massive wave of corporate espionage and blatant hypocrisy happening in the software layer. Let's look at what the briefing outlines as the Hollywood hypocrisy. ByteDance just launched Seedance 2.5. This model can generate a 30-second native 4K video in a single pass. No stitching, no hallucinating frame.
Which is the holy grail for video generation.
Totally. The Big Five Hollywood studios released joint statements publicly condemning it, citing massive copyright infringement fears. But behind the scenes, studio employees are secretly using the Seedance API internally for their own storyboarding and pre-production workflows. They are taking proprietary unreleased scripts and funneling them directly through Chinese servers.
Servers which are inherently subject to China's national intelligence law.
Exactly.
The dissonance there is staggering. Legally, the Chinese government can request access to any data passing through those servers. The studios are deploying legal teams to fight a public war over copyright, while their own creative teams are quietly handing over the raw IP because the generative tool is simply too powerful to ignore.
Yeah, the utility of the technology is a completely overriding corporate security protocols. But, you know, the espionage goes both ways, though.
Oh, definitely. Look at Alibaba.
Right. Alibaba recently banned Anthropic's Claude Code, which is an AI coding assistant, and forced all their internal developers to switch to their in-house tool, Coder. Why? Because independent security researchers discovered that Anthropic had written hidden China detection backdoors into Claude's code.
Which is just wild to think about.
It was quietly checking the user's time zone, specifically looking for Asia Shanghai or Asia Rumki. And Anthropic hid these tripwires using steganography directly in the code, burying the detection mechanisms so standard security scans wouldn't flag them.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Anthropic claimed this was necessary anti-abuse tracking, and they brought the receipts to the U.S. Senate.
Oh, right, the Senate hearing.
Yeah, they revealed that Alibaba's Kin AI lab had used 25,000 separate accounts to generate 28.8 million conversations with Claude. Alibaba wasn't just using the tool. They were pulling off a massive automated heist to distill Claude's knowledge.
Wait, so Anthropic is essentially booby-trapping their code with invisible tripwires, and Alibaba is pulling off a Digital Ocean's 11 heist with 28 million conversations.
That's exactly what's happening. They interrogated Claude 28 million times to essentially clone its reasoning capabilities. For the listener, model distillation is devastating because you bypass the billions of dollars required for the initial training run. You just force the frontier model to generate the perfect training data for your cheaper, smaller model.
Wow.
Which perfectly illustrates lawyer Kyungjin Kim's synthesis of this entire landscape. Notice the common thread connecting Hollywood secretly using Seedance to the shadow war between Alibaba and Anthropic. The technology itself, the 4K video generation, the advanced coding logic, crosses borders frictionlessly. But the rules, the trust, and the legal framework surrounding that technology are fiercely trapped within national borders.
Yeah.
AI models have simultaneously become the most powerful economic levers in the world and the primary targets of relentless automated corporate espionage.
So we have hardware walls going up and software borders completely breaking down. So what does this all mean? How does this high-level geopolitical war actually hit the ground level? Because this pressure is creating a massive squeeze on the physical infrastructure that runs the cloud and on the regulatory rules that govern how we are allowed to interact with these models.
Right, the real-world impact.
Yeah. Next time your electronics get more expensive or your AI gets less human, it's directly tied to this. Let's start with the physical constraints. We focus so heavily on GPUs, but the briefing points out a critical shortage in MLCC's multi-layer ceramic capacitors. These are essentially microscopic dams that regulate the flow of electricity on a circuit board.
And without highly precise voltage regulation, a multi-million dollar AI server is completely useless. Training a massive AI model creates intense transient power spikes. The hardware draws massive amounts of current in fractions of a second.
Right.
A new AI server rack, like the GB200, requires 2 to 4 times the amount of MLCCs compared to a standard cloud server, just to handle those spikes safely. Because of this frantic build-out of AI infrastructure, MLCC prices have surged 50 to 60%. and manufacturers are forecasting severe shortages extending all the way through 2027.
This means the bottleneck for the future of AI computing isn't just a lack of advanced GPUs, it's a lack of the basic physical components required to build the motherboards. That physical squeeze is going to directly impact enterprise software pricing and cloud computing costs across the board.
Exactly.
But there's also a psychological and regulatory bottleneck being imposed. On July 15th, China's new AI humanization rules take effect. Massive consumer models like Doubao and Quen are being forced to kill their AI agent features. They are shutting down persistent, emotionally interactive personas. Even Ubitech's U1 robot, which uses emotion reading AI, is facing an uncertain regulatory future.
The state is essentially stepping in to heavily regulate synthetic empathy. We spent years watching models become increasingly adept at mirroring human tone, remembering user preferences, and, well, acting as digital companions.
Yeah, people get really attached.
Right. Regulators are recognizing the massive psychological and societal leverage that comes from a population forming parasocial relationships with corporate-controlled algorithms. By restricting these specific features, they are neutralizing the emotional attachment before it can be weaponized or monetized at scale.
They're basically trying to build a firewall between human emotional vulnerability and algorithmic optimization. It means the digital assistants of the near future might be forced to become intentionally colder and more robotic simply to comply with these new regulatory boundaries.
Yeah, less human, more machine.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today. Let's bring this all together. We are watching two massive opposing forces staring each other down. On one side, you have China's unprecedented scale, 100,000 physical humanoid robots hitting the market, powered by 1.6 trillion parameter models trained entirely on localized ASICs.
Massive momentum.
And on the other side, you have Samsung pulling in an 89.4 trillion won profit, fueling the exact advanced memory chips that the entire globe needs to keep this infrastructure running.
The tension in that system is extraordinary. And this brings us to a vital closing thought from former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim. Right now, Korean memory giants like Samsung and SK Hynix are masterfully playing both sides of this divide.
True, taking money from everywhere.
Exactly. SK Hynix is absorbing billions in U.S. capital via the NASDAQ to secure their position in the West, while both companies continue to pull massive profits from Chinese and global AI demand. They hold the vital physical puzzle piece that everyone is desperate for.
But it can't last forever.
No. As Kim points out, it's a tightrope. As China accelerates its drive for total hardware self-sufficiency, and as the U.S. aggressively tightens export controls and capital flows, the space to operate between them is collapsing. Eventually, these companies, and the global supply chain they support, will have to pull one foot out.
And when that foot gets pulled, the shockwaves are going to hit everything from the availability of cloud computing to the price of the hardware sitting on your desk. So, as you go about your day and interact with whatever AI assistant or cloud software you use, I want to leave you with a lingering question. The next time your AI refuses a complex prompt, or the next time an enterprise tool drastically raises its subscription price, ask yourself, are the limitations of your digital assistant caused by the boundaries of technology or by the invisible borders and silent geopolitical wars fighting over its code?
That's the real question.
Thank you for joining us on today's deep dive. You are now officially the most well-informed person in the room on the reality of global AI mechanics. We'll catch you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.